B broke his concentration. "Can you read this, Lord Richter?" The anticipation and hunger for knowledge was evident in the scholar's voice. "Yes," Richter replied. "You can't?" He had never said he wasn't a dick. B ground his teeth. "No?" "Man, that must be frustrating," Richter said with a smile. He went back to reading. Actually taking the time to see how a spell was described was an interesting experience. As Richter continued to turn the pages, he found that a spell was actually a mixture of being in the right mindset, channeling energy through certain parts of your body in a specific way, keeping a certain spell form in mind, and many other details. Even proximity to certain ley lines came into play. Richter was amazed at all the information that he was able to access intuitively upon absorbing a spellbook. He knew that lower-level spells were probably not as intricate, but even if they were a tenth as involved, the rapid absorption of knowledge from a magic book was centuries beyond available technology on Earth. This was like that Matrix movie President Reeves had been in. After he had read several pages, Richter felt like he had a good grasp on the style this was written in. He turned the page of scrap paper over and started writing. This style not only incorporated the flourishes and extra strokes that calligraphy demanded, but also used expressions of language rather than concise words. It was almost poetic. Unfortunately, he had no idea how he could teach it to the scholars. His intuitive comprehension of how to use the penmanship style didn't mean he understood the basic principles of it. He supposed it was the same as a native English speaker being unable to explain what the pluperfect tense was. B was going to be disappointed. That might actually be a plus as far as Richter was concerned, though, so it really wasn't a problem. Besides, Richter had just gotten some good news. Congratulations, you have learned a new writing style, Old Writ. Plus 40% success in creating magical books and items reliant on writing when you use this writing style. Plus 40% writing speed. "May I see that book, my lord?" B asked quickly. Though he was speaking to Richter, his eyes didn't leave the book. Bartle had the same avaricious expression, but he was more reserved. Richter slowly closed the book. He hated to waste quest experience, but these books were Baen's, and he was just holding them. Also, he didn't trust B completely, so he wouldn't be handing them over. With his decision, he received a prompt. "You have completed a quest, The Right Words. The book of a potent waking nightmare is scribed in Old Writ. Examination of this text has granted you an understanding of the writing style. You have decided not to share this information unless Baen has given his approval. You have failed the optional portion of this quest. Reward, Old Writ writing style. Reward, 625 experience points." Not a lot of experience, but he would take it. Richter looked at the scholars. "These books are not mine to give or lend out. You will have to speak with Baen about that, and he just went for his trial. If you and he come to an agreement, then I will help you. Do well on building my table, and I will speak to him on your behalf." B didn't look happy, but he nodded. "As far as the table is concerned, my lord, I will need certain materials. I will need several measures of powdered crystal, the help of someone with the woodworking skill, and most importantly, the magically conductive wood I mentioned. The rarer, the better. Can you arrange to have these things brought to me?" "You have received a quest, raw materials. B, the scholar, has agreed to make a larger version of the knowledge tablet. Among other components, he requires wood from a type of tree with a rarity of scarce or higher. Reward, a knowledge table. Will you obtain what he needs, yes or no?" Richter perfunctorily selected yes again. B might be a bit of a dick, but the guy also seemed to be a quest factory. He wanted to get back on track, though. It was always good learning about various things, but there was going to be a birth tonight. There was still one more thing he had to go over with the scholars. "We keep getting off track. Like I said before, since I have reached the rank of journeyman in enchanting, I can create spellbooks. I need a blank book to try and make this happen." B looked hesitant, but still said, "I can sell a blank book to you, Lord Richter." Richter started to glare at him, but the man raised his hands to calm the chaos seed. "This is standard procedure, my lord, I promise. I am sorry for our earlier interaction, but making books is a laborious process. Bartle was right in that we had to make many books as part of our training, but even our guild would pay us for our work at this point. I will offer an extremely fair price. I promise you that I've learned my lesson regarding any tricks, my lord. Richter nodded. He would believe in B's dedication to fair play when he saw a pattern of it, but the man at least seemed genuine in this case. The scholar had already shit the bed in regards to Richter having faith in him. The KIC decided to focus on the task at hand. I respect your work, and will pay a fair price for it. How much per book?
It depends on the quality, Lord Richter, B said. There are 11 ranks for book quality. Trash, poor, average, above average, well-crafted, exceptional, superb, exquisite, and masterwork. Starting at above average, those books can be used to make magic books. One of the reasons that all scribes are required to make books in service to the guild is that bookbinding is a subskill of scribing and must be leveled. I, for instance, am an initiate in bookbinding. Most of the books I make are above average in quality.
What about you? Richter asked Bartle.
I am an apprentice in bookbinding, almost progressed to journeyman rank. I have equal chances at this point of making well-crafted or exceptional books. I will also be able to make them faster than B, but it will by no means be a quick process, the scholar replied. The baseline time to make a blank book is 1 week, Lord Richter. The required time decreases by 1 day for each subskill rank. In Eve, I can sell my well-crafted blank books for 1 silver each. I sell exceptional books for 1 silver and 4 coppers.
I will sell my above-average books for 7 coppers each, B added.
I can handle that, Richter said. He bought all of the empty books they had with them and ended up with 4 above-average, 6 well-crafted, and 7 exceptional books. He also bought 4 vials of well-crafted black ink. It was enough for him to start working, but it was also all that the scholars had. The bigger problem, they informed him, was that they were running out of combed flax, which was the base component they used to make paper.
How do you go about making more? He asked.
Bartle shrugged.
We actually are not involved in most of the process. There are dedicated alchemists in law who have made their own guild, the Guild of Woven Trees, who take raw wood to make untreated flax and treat it to produce this.
Bartle took a small amount of rope of what looked like straw-colored hair from his pouch.
This is combed flax. You can tell the quality of the material by the softness. It may not look like much, but this 1 kilogram of combed flax required over 25 kilos of raw flax to create. It needed to be treated with various acids and purification techniques. Once we have this combed flax, we can turn it into paper. This 1 kilo is enough for me to make 1 small book. We have only 6 more of these, Lord Richter.
God, Richter thought. What he wouldn't give for a CVS. He could see now why even a blank book would cost as much as an average laborer made in a fortnight. Actually, now that he was thinking about it, something else occurred to him. Randy, do I even want to know how much we are paying Abbas and his brothers for paper?
I do not believe so, my lord, Randolphus responded.
Richter grunted. At least the man was honest. There had to be an easier way to do this, though. He asked that exact question.
There is a talent called writing tools, Bartle admitted. The first level of the talent allows me to make books using raw wood at the same quality as if I did it the hard way. I would also be able to make a passable stylus and ink from raw materials. The talent costs 10 talent points, though, my lord. That is an entire level's worth of TPs. I am saving for a more advanced talent dealing with long-range communication. I am sure you understand that as a non-combat profession, it is extremely difficult for scholars to level, and I cannot countenance wasting my talent points in such a way. I have to think about my future.
Richter listened intently without interrupting. Hearing the man bemoan the loss of 10 talent points really did underscore how fortunate he was to have the extra TPs from his high affinity and chaotic nature. When Bartle finished speaking, though, Richter still felt like he might have something to convince the scholars to do as he wished, but he decided not to push the point yet. Instead, he bought 1 other item from Bartle. It was the most expensive item yet, but Richter agreed it was well worth it. The man had pulled out another small wooden box. Inside was a pen. You have found steel-tipped pen, durability 17 of 17, item class common. Quality well-crafted. Weight, 0.3 kilograms. The scholars explained that precision was the hallmark of success in their profession.
Even the best quills, they said, were at best broad-based and often caused ink to bleed across the page. The pen allowed Richter to write clearly and concisely. B stated that there were enchanted pens that gave all sorts of bonuses, but to learn how to scribe, a basic pen was apparently a must. It cost him another 5 silver and 4 coppers, but now he had what he needed.
"How do I make my magic book?" Richter asked.
The scholars guided him through the process, and it wasn't exactly cheap. He had to use 2 measures of powdered crystal. One was mixed into an inkwell, and the other was sprinkled through the pages of one of his new books. Richter received 2 prompts.
"Congratulations, you have created basic black ink, enchanted. Durability 5 of 5, item class uncommon, quality smooth, weight 0.1 kilograms, traits, can be used to make enchanted and magical documents. Congratulations, you have created blank book, enchanted. Durability 11 of 11, item class uncommon, quality above average, weight 0.5 kilograms, traits, can be used to make a magical book.
Okay, what do I do now? Richter asked.
B shrugged.
Richter's eye twitched, and he thought to himself, did this dick just shrug at me?
Chapter 27, Day 112, Kuborn 2, 15,368 EBG. Seeing Richter's irritated expression, B decided to try and be a bit more helpful.
"This is as much as I have ever helped a mage or enchanter to start a spellbook. Magicians always just seem to know what to write, and very few would willingly share their knowledge. Once you have written the spell, though, I can use my perfect scribing talent to potentially improve the quality of the book."
Richter sighed.
"Why is this so complicated? How does perfect scribing help to improve anything? Honestly, when I first heard about it, I thought it was kind of useless."
Bartle chuckled in understanding.
You are not the only one who has thought this, Lord Richter. Part of our training in the guild is actually explaining why this is one of the more useful talents. As the name implies, at its first level, perfect scribing lets us write perfectly. That allows us to make documents look pretty, but I agree, it seems a waste of talent points. At the second level, however, perfect scribing lets a scholar correct a document or book that someone else has written. For a small amount of mana, I could alter anything you wrote to reflect what you intended to write. It lets a scholar remove any errors in spelling, stray ink blots, poor spacing, and other inconsistencies. All of these things can greatly affect the final effectiveness of a spell or skill book. Whatever ability you have that is allowing you to learn advanced writing styles is amazing, Lord Richter. But everyone makes mistakes when writing. This is especially true if you are using more advanced penmanship styles.
If Richter was understanding correctly, level 2 of the talent was like what a book editor was supposed to do, spell and content checking. Considering that he would be having to write everything by hand, he could see the value of the second level of perfect scribing. Abbas the trader had taught him that using a spell book was no guarantee to actually learning the spell. It wouldn't make too much of a difference with low-level spells, but with a more complex spell, a lower quality product might mean failure when trying to learn new magic. The spellbook would still be destroyed, and that could mean that you had basically just pissed away anywhere from dozens to thousands of gold. Richter saw the benefit in making his literary creations as perfect as possible. He might as well start and give it a shot. He opened a blank book to the first page, hoping for inspiration. After a few moments, he still felt fuck all. Hoping for some type of prompt to appear and guide him, Richter dipped a pen into enchanted ink. Tapping it against the inside of the bottle twice, he removed any excess and then moved his hand to put the metal tip to the page. He focused on the spell he wanted to write down, but before the pen touched paper, 2 things appeared. A notification appeared in Richter's vision, and a faint smirk appeared on his face.
Do you wish to create the spellbook, Book of Summon Weak Bile Rats? This level 1 spell will require 21 hours and 49 minutes of scribing time to complete. You will have 24 hours to complete this task. Do you wish to start? Yes or no?
His smirk disappeared. What the hell was this? It took a whole day to write this one spell? Did that include bathroom breaks?
There had to be something he was missing. Richter put the pen back into the inkwell and asked the scholars about it. It was B who answered.
Now you see one of the reasons that scholars and scribes are so valued, Lord Richter. I believe I can explain. First, until your scribing skill is leveled, writing anything more than short notes will be very time-consuming. One of the perks to leveling scribing is that each level increases writing speed by 2%. I also know that the other factors that determine spellbook creation are the level of the spell and your personal skill level in that branch of magic. Mages may not have wanted to share information, but every one of them enjoyed complaining about what slowed them down. I learned that at baseline, the level of the spell determines how many days are required to create the spell book at a 1-to-1 ratio. A level 1 spell will take 1 day, and a level 10 spell will take 10 days. The maximum amount of time you have to create the spell book is determined by your skill level, also at 1-to-1 ratio. If you were level 15 in water magic, then you'd have 15 days to finish a spell book. Failure to finish in the allotted time will destroy the book and any work that you have done.
Okay, that makes sense, Richter said. I'm hoping you have more to tell me. I can't even devote 1 full day to making a spell book, let alone more for higher level spells. Also, waiting for my scribe skill to level is going to be a pain. B nodded.
There is a third factor to consider, Lord Richter. Your skill level in a given spell school will reduce the total time required. Simply divide your skill level into the total number of hours required. If you were skill level 12 in fire magic and attempted to create a level 1 fire spellbook, it would only take 2 hours instead of the original 24.
Using more advanced writing styles will also increase your writing speed, Lord Richter, Bartle added.
Richter thought. He hadn't consciously chosen to use one of the forms of penmanship he had just learned. He picked up the pen again and focused on making the death magic spellbook, but this time, Richter envisioned writing in old writ. A prompt appeared. It appears you wish to create the spellbook, Book of Summon Weak Bile Rats. This level 1 spell will require 12 hours of scribing time to complete. You will have 24 hours to complete this task. Do you wish to start? Yes or no? Richter selected no again and reached for the scratch paper they had been writing on. Now that he knew how expensive paper was in the land, it kind of made his stomach hurt to waste even this page. The damage was already done, though, so he didn't stop. He didn't quite understand how the hours required had changed. After a few calculations, he felt that he had a handle on it. With a skill level 1 in death magic, his base writing speed could be called 1 hour, or 1.1 hours if his 10% increase in speed from that talent, faster creation time 1, was taken into account. That was why at baseline it would take 21 hours and 49 minutes to finish the level 1 death spell. The shorter time frame on the last prompt came from his ability to write using old writ, making the process 40% faster. So his base speed of 1 hour had become 1.5 hours. Richter paused his calculations with a self-satisfied smile. His gift of tongues ability had always been something that had just made things easier for him in the land. By giving him mastery of an advanced writing style, though, it had effectively increased his speed to be the same as a scribe of skill level 20. "Watch out, enemies of the free press! Lord Richter of the MB is coming at you!" He turned his attention back to the scrap paper. Even though the time required had dropped a good deal, Richter decided to hold off on trying to make the Summon Rats spell until he had leveled his death magic skill. He pulled up his status page quickly and checked his magic skill levels. Air and fire magic were his most advanced skills. He could share any air spells directly in light of his mastery of the power, so making a spell book was kind of a waste of time. Richter decided to try his hand at creating a spell book of one of his go-to magics, Weak Flame. Before he started, he remembered that there was another opportunity that creating his own spellbooks would allow him. Richter looked at his chamberlain. "It's time that I learned the spells that my new aeromancers received when I awakened their magic. Who is the villager that learned glitter dust?"
"May I borrow the knowledge tablet, my lord?" Randolphus asked.
Richter handed it over, but kept staring at the man. Randolphus noticed his attention and returned his lord's gaze. Richter looked pointedly at the chamberlain's clipboard, then back to the knowledge tablet while arching an eyebrow. Analog had always been good enough for the stolid man before. Randy took his meaning and said defensively, "It is faster this way." Richter raised both hands with his palms out and just chuckled. Randy kept going through the villagers' info with a slight grimace. After a minute, Randolphus had the answer.
Her name is Talina, my lord. She is an arcane gnome and serves with the guard.
The Chamberlain started flipping through his clipboard, eliciting a cough from Richter. The Chamberlain closed his eyes momentarily, as if asking for strength, then flipped through until he found the appropriate page.
She is currently on duty at the wall. Would you like me to send for her?
Richter nodded, and Randolphus called out into the hall. A guard jogged up and was given instructions to find Talena and take over her shift on the wall. That done, Richter decided to focus on starting his first spellbook. He held the pen over the book again and waited for the prompt, focusing on the spell Weak Flame. Do you wish to create the spellbook Book of Weak Flame? This level 1 spell will require 1 hour and 36 minutes of scribing time to complete. You will have 10 days to complete this task. Do you wish to start? Yes or no?
That's more like it!
Richter selected yes, and the most amazing thing happened. The page in front of him took on the appearance of a watermark. His hand also adopted a red glow. He realized that he was summoning his magic without actually forming it into a spell. It was similar to the technique his shipbuilder, Shiavanna, used to make the ships she built stronger. Richter also noticed that the end of his mana bar was flickering. The blue bar wasn't falling, but something was clearly happening, so he checked his action log. Reading for a moment, he discovered that his mana was falling at a rate of 0.1 per second. It looked like the spell level was subtracted by his skill level and was then divided by 10 to determine the mana drain. Since his skill level was higher than the spell level, the drain defaulted to the lowest number, 0.1. He finally understood why only casters normally made spellbooks. Mana needed to be infused into the pages. Even enchanters needed to be in the presence of a caster who knew a spell if they wanted to make a book. Richter wondered if he would be able to split the mana cost if he was working with someone else. It could definitely come in handy. Right now, his mana regen was higher than the mana drain, so there was no issue. But if the drain ever rose above 40 mana a minute, then his pool would begin to drain. He would have to stop periodically because of mana loss. Suddenly he felt a lot more understanding of the inflated prices Abbas had been charging for the spell books he had bought. After learning of the small leak in his mana pool, he was reminded to channel the rest of his mana regen to unlocking the second level of his Sonic Whale enchantment. Dismissing the action log, he got to work. Almost without effort, his hand started moving, supplying ink where the watermark indicated. Mathematical and mystical calculations began to fill the page. Without even noticing, he turned to the next page and continued writing. His hand wavered from time to time. Small mistakes were made, and he quickly came to appreciate the fact that he had the pen to work with rather than a quill. Despite his intermittent errors, Richter quickly began filling the pages of the spellbook. Occasionally, he dipped his pen into the ink again, but it was done absently. The task filled him with contentment. The simple act of creation, reassuring and comforting in an unexpected way. A hand shook his shoulder.
What? Richter asked absent-mindedly.
He looked up to see Randolphus smiling bemusedly at him. A black smear was on Richter's cheek, where he had scratched an itch after using his thumb to blot an ink drop.
I said that God Talena is here now, my lord.
Richter looked beyond the Chamberlain to the slight guard behind him. The woman was wearing light leather armor, marking her as both a guard and a caster. The chainmail worn by the other guards would have raised the possibility of a spell miscast to an unacceptable level. Ideally, as a mage, she would be wearing cloth armor or a robe, but Tarad had decided that his guards would have at least minimal protection. Talena clapped a fist over her heart in salute and bowed her head.
"Reporting is ordered, my lord."
Richter smiled and waved her over, telling her to bring a chair. While she brought one over, he looked down at the book he had been working on and saw two small sets of numbers hovering in the right-hand corner. They had the same translucent appearance as his prompts, and he knew they were a small application of his interface, visible only to him. The top number showed the time remaining to complete the book, and the second set showed the amount of time required to finish the project and the percentage done. Happy with his progress, he blew on the last words he had written and then closed the book. The partially completed work went into his bag. Telena pulled up her chair and sat next to him. "I would like to make a spell book based on your spell Glitter Dust. Are you all right with that?" he asked.
"Of course, Lord Richter. I'm not sure how to help you accomplish that goal, however. I do not know how I cast the spell exactly, my lord. I simply will it to happen."
Richter laughed. "Then we're in the same boat. Let's just give it a shot." The Chaos Seed opened another one of the above-average quality books. After sprinkling another measure of powdered crystal through the pages, he received a prompt saying the book was enchanted. Richter dipped his pen in the inkwell, but before he could even hold it over the blank book, Telena asked a question.
"Wouldn't it be helpful if I were closer, Lord Richter? Should we be touching?"
Richter looked at the woman. For a gnome, her face was thinner than normal, but she had the same short stature and large bosom typical of her people. The day's training with the guards had given her a firm and narrow waist. Soft brown eyes looked at him from beneath raven-black hair. He was still watching her full lips when she spoke again.
"My lord?"
Randolphus coughed, and one of the scribes snickered. Richter shook his head slightly to jostle free the impure thoughts. "We can just try it without touching first." Then with a smile, he added, "Stay close, though." She smiled back. "Oh, Richter, you're going to hell," he thought. Then another part of him thought, "What a way to go." Tapping away the excess ink, Richter held the pen above the enchanted book. A moment later, a prompt appeared. "Do you wish to create the spellbook, Book of Glitter Dust? You have been given permission to create this book by the mage who knows the spell. This will be a collective effort with another, and so all scribing values will be averaged. Mana regen rates will also be combined to offset mana drain. Average skill level in air magic, 10. This level 1 spell will require 1 hour and 36 minutes of scribing time to complete. You will have 10 days to complete this task. Do you wish to start? Yes or no?" Richter asked Telena what her skill level in air magic was. She proudly told him that she had reached level 7. He had suspected that would be her answer, seeing as how he was level 13 in air magic, but wanted to confirm. It meant that it would take more time to scribe spells with the pretty guard than if he knew the spell himself. On the other hand, it meant that making spellbooks with Quasia or Czar might go faster because of their high level. Richter chose yes on his prompt and started writing. A yellow glow surrounded his hand and one of Telena's. Again, his mana bar flickered, but the overall amount in his mana pool remained constant. Looking at the book, a watermark appeared and he started scribing in old writ. Richter went back into the zone. His hand moved smoothly, filling in the marks that only he could see, and he did his best to follow the outline. Again and again, his pen dipped into the ink and the pages turned. He absently heard Randolphus and the scribes speaking around him, but he remained focused on his task. Glitter Dust was one of the spells that he had coveted when he unlocked air magic in his villagers. The ability to not only blind enemies, but also to reveal hidden opponents was something he needed in his magical toolbox. Richter only stopped when a prompt appeared. "The mage you are working with has left the effective area for you to be able to scribe her spell." Richter blinked and realized he could no longer see the watermark. Looking around, he saw that Telena was at the door to the chamber. A slightly strained expression was on her face, and she was shuffling from foot to foot. He had to stop himself from laughing at seeing the air mage doing the pee-pee dance. He shooed her out the door, asking her to come back as soon as she could. It looked like she could be about 10 yards away from him while he worked, but no further. Richter made small talk until she came back. Once she re-entered the room, the watermark reappeared in the book, and he got back to work with single-minded intensity. Before he knew it, he finished his spell. Several blank pages were left, but the watermark had disappeared. The book smacked shut of its own accord and rose a foot into the air. A soft yellow glow surrounded the book, reassuring and tranquil. He smelled a clean scent, like a fresh wind coming through new pines. "Congratulations, you have created a spellbook, Book of Glitter Dust. Durability 13 of 13. Item class, common. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 0.4 kilograms. Creates a 5x5 area filled with shimmering dust. Anyone in the AoE will be covered by the particles, revealing invisible or stealthed enemies. This is a spell of air. Know this, Your use of old writ has increased the quality of your book of glitter dust from above average to well-crafted. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in scribing, +2% to scribing speed, +2% more likely to successfully scribe a document. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 3 in scribing, +2% to scribing speed, +2% more likely to successfully scribe a document. Richter dismissed the prompts, pleased with both his skill progression and the increase in book quality. He reached up and grabbed the hovering book. When his hand came in contact with it, the yellow light winked out.
"Congratulations, Lord Richter," B said respectfully. "If you do not mind, I would love to examine that book. It might give me insight into old writ, and there should be no conflict of interest this time."
The same avarice as before was in the man's eyes. Quest update. The right words. You have been given a second chance to share an example of old writ with Scholar B. Do you wish to lend him the Book of Glitter Dust? Yes or no? Richter had never been given a second shot to fulfill a failed quest before. Of course, he didn't make a habit of failing quests either. He could definitely wait a day or two to learn the spell, but before he agreed, he needed to know a thing or two. "Can you copy this?" Richter asked, holding his new spellbook. Both scholars shook their heads.
"I have leveled my copy talent to level 2, Bartle said, "but spellbooks are beyond me. I can copy any scrolls you might have, however, Lord Richter.
And unfortunately, my copy talent is only level 1, Lord Richter," B said. "I can only copy non-magical documents."
Richter took his new scroll case out of his bag. "Show me how it works," he said, handing it over to Bartle. The scholar took the scroll case of monster attraction and examined it with great curiosity.
"This is old."
He turned it around and examined it further.
"Very old. These cases are specially made with a preservation enchantment to maintain scrolls. If the case is suffering, though, there may only be dust inside," he warned.
"I won't hold anything against you if there is," Richter said.
"Very well, my lord. I will need to blow out the lantern, however. I don't want to risk even a shuttered flame near such a potentially fragile document. Can you create a magical light? I also need loose sheets of enchanted paper. One measure of powdered crystal should be enough to enchant 20 scrolls. Simply sprinkle the crystal on top of a stack of the Chamberlain's blank paper. You may also want to create more enchanted ink. I believe you used most of the first bottle in making the spellbook."
Richter nodded. Seeing no reason to skimp, he summoned 9 mist lights. After poking his sleeping familiar, she begrudgingly summoned another 11, nearly emptying her mana pool. Then she blew a small gust of wind into his ear as punishment for waking her, and then settled back into sleep on his shoulders. He shook his head at his sassy dragonling. The fact that such a small creature could have a mana pool of over 600 was astounding to him. Richter looked at Randolphus and said, "Distribute these around the catacombs as you see fit. I plan on having enough mist lights to cover the entire village soon." With 20 mist lights, it was almost too bright in the room, but the soft gray light didn't hurt anyone's eyes. Richter used another 2 measures of crystal to make the blank scrolls and more enchanted ink. B extinguished the lantern. Now ready? Bartle opened the case and gingerly took the scroll out. The paper was yellowed, and the edges were cracked. Richter examined it and saw that the scroll itself only had 2 points of durability left out of an original total of 15. Bartle examined the scroll, obviously fascinated by such an old document, until Randolphus gave one of his characteristic throat clears. The scribe came back to himself.
"I must again state that I can make no promises, Lord Richter. My copy skill has an almost 100% success rate with items in good repair, but this... suffice it to say that having powerful magic constrained by such a moldy and weak scroll might cause a reaction with my magic."
"What type of reaction?" Randolphus asked with concern. The scholar started to reply, but Richter forestalled the answer. He needed to see if this could work and saw no reason to delay trying. After all, he possessed another scroll that the scholar could try to copy if the first attempt was unsuccessful.
"I'm sure it'll be fine, Randy, but my lord..."
the Chamberlain protested.
"I'm sure Bartle is up to the task, aren't you?"
Richter asked, looking at the scholar. Randolphus turned his gaze to the man as well. The scribe quailed slightly under such scrutiny, but then said with false confidence,
"Of course, Lord Richter."
Bartle placed the steepled fingers of his left hand on the scroll and his other hand on the stack of blank paper. A glow surrounded his hand, and then the scroll began to pulse with the same brown light. When sparks started flying out to the sides of the magical document, Richter started to feel a bit of concern. The feeling worsened when Bartle snatched his hand back, but it was when the scroll exploded that he was completely sure that something was wrong. Papers flew through the air, and the loud bang echoed in the enclosed room, deafening Talena and the four men. Richter fell to the ground, stunned. When he sat up a few seconds later, he blinked randomly, dazed. Looking over, he saw Randolphus glaring at him and moving his mouth in a furious pantomime. Richter's addled mind just couldn't figure out why the Chamberlain would go to the trouble of pretending to be furious but not actually yell out loud. Mystery or not, the Chaos Seed watched Randolphus really commit to the act. The Chamberlain's face even turned red as he pointed first at the scorch mark on the table where the scroll had been, then at the mess, then at his own ears. Richter really began to enjoy the show when Randolphus stopped looking at him and instead started stomping around in a circle while throwing his arms in the air, silently screaming his anger to the gods.
Chapter 28, Day 112, Caborn 2, 15,368 EBG. Luckily, the damage done was actually minimal. It was more of a very expensive light and sound show than a true explosion. Once Richter got his senses back, he and Alma cast weak slow heal on everyone and their deafness debuff disappeared. The Dragonling also bit the shit out of his finger. She had never done that before, but apparently being blown up while sleeping and finding out that it was his fault was her trigger. She flew out of the room as soon as the spells had been cast. Randolphus kept opening and closing his jaw while glaring at his lord, but once Richter apologized for not heeding his warnings, the Chamberlain seemed mostly mollified. Bartle took a bit more cajoling to calm down. Richter found this to be completely understandable, seeing as how the tips of the man's fingers had been blackened by the exploding scroll. After being healed and given a few minutes, the scribe had been able to collect himself. When Richter pulled out the second monster scroll case, though, the scholar got all riled up again. All told, it took about 30 minutes before Bartle would try his copy talent for a second time. He only agreed in the end because the second scroll had survived the ravages of time to a greater extent and had a significantly higher durability once removed from the case. Richter also had to agree to stand next to the scholar while he attempted to use his talent again. The unspoken understanding was that whatever happened to Bartle would also happen to Richter. Randolphus and B wisely waited by the door. Talena looked panicked, so Richter told her she could wait down the hall. She beat a speedy retreat. Bartle once again placed one hand on the unfurled scroll and another on a stack of paper. Closing his eyes and crinkling his face in anticipation of calamity, the scholar's hand began to glow again. This time, the scroll and the stack of papers adopted the glow, and no sparks flew. A second later, Bartle let out a relieved sigh and opened his eyes.
"Done."
"That's it?" Richter asked.
"That is it," Bartle said brightly.
He gingerly rolled the original parchment back up and placed it in the case. He handed it back to Richter. Then he peeled back the top four sheets of parchment from the stack and handed them over as well. Randolphus and B joined them. "You have found Scroll of Monster Attraction, Luminous. Durability, 12 of 12. Item class, Common. Quality, Well-Crafted. Weight, 0.7 kilograms. Traits. This is a scroll of monster attraction. Activating this scroll will attract the strongest monster within a 1 mile radius. This scroll will only affect creatures with a luminous soul level or lower, times 4. Richter smiled.
Woot! He owed Basil a fruit basket.
The trader turned diplomat had been right. The scholars were worth every copper. He looked at the rest of the stack. Why only 4? Bartle pointed to the rest of the stack. The remaining pages were still blank.
Each level of my copy talent allows for 2 copies to be made. Before you ask, copies cannot be made of copies, and a document that has been copied can never be copied again. This includes blank books. For instance, if you asked me to make copies of some of the books you had just bought, and then you created a spell book with one, I could not make more copies of it afterward.
Richter's face wrinkled. The copy talent was awesome, but it seemed like the land itself conspired to compartmentalize information. What happens if one of you just open the book and write down what you see? Using that perfect scribe talent, it would take longer, but you could still make a copy.
We could do exactly that, Lord Richter, B said, and the result would indeed look perfect, but it would not be a magical document. Only the copy talent can accomplish that. It not only replicates the writing, but it also replicates the magic inherent in the book. Simply trying to write down what is seen in another book will make an imitation that is magically moribund.
B was still casting furtive glances at Richter's new book of glitter dust. Richter had already assumed that would be the answer. The Chaos Seed looked at his new book and thought how it was strange that he hadn't absorbed the spell information just by writing it down. Every penstroke and whorl that would sink into his mind if he triggered the spell book had been put there by him. When he searched his mind, though, he still didn't know how to cast glitter dust. Apparently, there were no shortcuts. The Lord of the Mist Village held the book up.
I'm willing to let you to examine this book, but I want something in return. I need you, he said to B, to get whatever that bookmaking talent is. I have a feeling that I'm going to need a great deal more blank books than we have. He looked at Bartle. What I need from you is for you to purchase the 3rd level of the copy talent.
I have already told you that I'm saving my talent points for a more expensive talent, Lord Richter, Bartle protested.
The man's expression grew guarded. Richter could almost read his mind. He could see the scholar's fear that he might be just another noble who would force his own agenda. B spoke up as well.
The writing tool's talent, while useful, is a waste for me. I must choose talents that will increase my attractiveness to one day obtain a position in a noble household. Unlike fighters, experience is very difficult for us to obtain.
Richter smiled like the cat that had gotten the cream. He had already known that would be their protest, and had a response prepared.
I might have a solution for that. Have you ever heard of the war leader skill? More specifically, the power level badge?
Both of the scribes' faces had lit up at hearing how they could gain experience on a daily basis. B already had 10 talent points in reserve, and he agreed to purchase the bookmaking talent as soon as Richter ran out of spellbooks. The Chaos Seed also handed over his new spellbook as a sweetener. Since B was only interested in examining old writ and not the spell itself, Richter gave him one day to copy the book. The copy might not be a true magical book, but it would still serve the scholar's purposes. In return, the scribe agreed to provide Richter, free of charge, all of the books he would need. Convincing Bartle was more difficult. Apparently the 3rd rank of copy cost 60 TPs. When Bartle explained what he was saving his points for, Richter actually agreed that it might be more useful. The talent was called Transmission. At level 1, it allowed 2 scholars with the talent to pass written messages to each other, even if they were separated by hundreds of miles. Level 2 allowed the scholars to transmit voices in real time. The 3rd level apparently allowed each scholar to create a virtual room. When that was done, people on opposite sides of the world could interact with each other with full visual, auditory, and tactile sensation intact. The talent was prohibitively expensive, though, with the 1st level costing a whopping 100 talent points. Even though Richter desperately wanted to be able to copy spellbooks, he ultimately agreed to help level each scholar intermittently, and told them that there was a permanent place in the Mist Village for talented people of character. The thoughtful look on Bartle's face showed that Richter's words had taken root. With everything done, Richter stood up. He told Bartle to meet him at the village gate after lunch the following day and to see Crom to be outfitted in armor first. Richter had decided to take 1 non-combatant out each day. He would also assign a 5-man squad whose sole duty was to protect that person. The squad wouldn't be added to the war party, of course, making the division of experience less. Bartle said he would be ready and waiting. It was about 8 at night, and it was time for the feast. The scholars started to follow him, but he held up a hand and reminded them that they had an appointment with Sumiko. B protested, asking if testing their loyalty was really necessary. Richter just smiled and told Telena to escort them to find Sumiko. He also told the guard what she was to do with her sword if either of the men proved false. The blood drained slightly from their faces as they saw the seriousness in his gaze. Richter didn't start chuckling until he was well out of sight. He thought it was a pretty good joke. Well, it was mostly a joke. As he walked out of the catacombs, he saw another minimized prompt blinking in the corner of his vision. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 16 in trade. 0.5% bonus to buying and selling per level. Quest update. You have lent the Scholar B your Book of Glitter Dust. You have fulfilled the optional requirement of the quest, the right words. Reward, your relationship with B has improved from neutral to kind. Reward, 313 experience. Every little bit helps, Richter thought. The fact that his trade skill went up was particularly gratifying. He was sure that a boss had taken him for a ride when they had last traded, and he needed to start leveling the playing field. Richter dismissed the notifications and kept walking. Not many villagers were walking around, but he was sure he would find them in the northern meadow. Alma flew ahead at his request to start creating more mist lights to hang around the quickening. Richter wasn't sure what this birth would look like, but he didn't want to miss a thing. The Chaos Seed enjoyed his walk through the village. It seemed like every time he looked, there was some new change. A path worn through the grass, or flowers planted in a sunny spot. The few villagers still around smiled and bowed their heads as he passed. Richter greeted each of them in kind. When he was almost to the hill, he paused because he had the strangest feeling that someone was approaching behind him. Richter turned, but didn't see anything. A moment later, however, Futin phased into view 20 feet away. "Greetings, Lord Richter," came the deadpan greeting. "Hello, sexy face," Richter said jokingly. "Did you make any noise before you spoke? I could swear that I felt you coming before you made yourself visible."
"I made no sounds, my lord. It is possible that your bond to your place of power is deepened. That could in turn strengthen your bond to me."
"Maybe," Richter said, thinking. He started walking again, and Futin floated quietly beside him. The feeling he had was similar to his knowledge about the location of his war party members. He cocked his head to one side and wondered if that meant his traveler's map was involved. Richter opened a translucent version of his map that superimposed against his field of vision. His warband hadn't been disbanded, so he could still see exactly where Tirad and Sion were. Of Bayon there was no sign, unsurprisingly, as the gnome was in another dimension for his trial. Thinking about Nexus made Richter's face crinkle in irritation, but he pushed the ebony giant out of his mind. Richter zoomed in on his map until it was only 10 feet around him. He didn't see Futin, but that could have just been because he already knew the remnant was there. The Chaos Seed stopped walking and performed a little experiment. He closed his eyes and ordered Futin to move to another location nearby. After counting to 5, he examined his map with his eyes still closed. The picture remained the same, but off to the side, there was a slight distortion on the map. Focusing on it, a prompt appeared. Do you wish to add the location of those you are powerfully bonded with to your traveler's map, yes or no? Richter chose yes, and suddenly the distortion formed into a small gray orb. He could see the remnant on his map. Zooming out, he was also able to see exactly where Alma was. Even more importantly, his ability to see through her eyes was reflected on the map. He could now see what she saw in real time. Sion and Tirad were also on the map, though he couldn't see through their eyes. Strangely, Alora didn't show up on the map. Testing a theory, he dissolved the war party and Tirad disappeared from his interface. So my companions won't automatically show up on my map, he thought. Sion was still there because he had the mapping ring, but he couldn't count on tracking Tirad or Alora. Still, Richter was happy about his increased capabilities. Richter further expanded his view, searching for the shale adder, but to no avail. He hoped it would show up when it was completely tamed. Either way, the ability to know what Alma saw as a real-time feed was awesome. It meant that she could update his domain from an aerial view. Whether this was only possible because of their increased psi bond, or whether it had always been an option and he had just been too much of a dumbass to try, he didn't know, but he would take it. The Chaos Seed quickly climbed the hill to the northern meadow and took in the sight before him. Mist lights hung in midair, forming a lighted path between where he stood and the quickening. More gray-white lights hung around the celestial tree. His people had brought up the long tables from the feast area, and he was happy to see that they had not bothered with his own high table. Tonight was a night to be with his people and celebrate life, not sit above them. Those with musical abilities were already playing, and the communal table was heavily laden with food. He was especially happy to see that the mist workers he had tasked to cut the grass had already done a great deal of work. He could make out one of them continuing to work a bit to the west. When Richter got closer to the impromptu feast area, one of the villagers raised a mug of whatever he was drinking and shouted, "Cheers to Lord Richter! Lord Richter and the Mist Village!" Other shouts of, "Hear, hear!" and "I need another drink!" rang out. There was, of course, also the obligatory call of, "Gnomes roll!" He waved to all of them as he walked into the dining area. Everyone got quiet while he approached the table. Richter grabbed a mug and poured himself a large ale. Then he hopped up onto one of the tables in one smooth jump. The Chaos Seed's strength and agility were high enough that he was able to do this even in full armor. The casual display of power and prowess was not lost on his people, who cheered him. The abilities of his body made the move easy enough that he didn't even spill a drop of his drink. Richter looked out at his people and said, "Greetings, my people!" More cheers rang out, and people shouted back greetings. "Tonight," Richter continued in a loud voice, "we will see the rebirth of a lost people. A light that was once lost in the dark will blaze back to life. Because of you and your efforts, these pixies have a home to welcome them. A home of love, strength, and laughter." Much louder cheers rang out. Richter paused before continuing. Then he lifted his tankard. "But until they get here, let's get pissed!" He tilted his head back and drained his mug in one long quaff. The shouts and applause were deafening as others followed their lord's example. Richter wiped a bit of foam from his lips and tossed the mug to one of his villagers, who went to fill it again. He waved to everyone one last time and then hopped down. It was time to bond with his people. The night was clear, and he kept summoning mist lights as the hours passed. He handed them to his villagers, who started a game of throwing them back and forth. He was confident that his people would take them back down to the village later and spread them around. Alma played her favorite game of dive-bombing unsuspecting feasters and snatching food out of their hands. Each successful raid was followed by curses from her victim and cheers from everyone around her vanquished foe. Lorala walked by him, trailing a sweet fragrance. She didn't say anything, but her smile made it clear he should have some Star Xenia ready for later. When he saw her walk over to the twins and start drinking and laughing together, his mouth started to water while somehow his throat went dry. Sion kicked his foot to bring him back to the conversation they had been having. Richter stuttered and made excuses, but his friend just gave him a smug look and kept talking. The Chaos Seed walked around, meeting with everyone he could. Sumiko walked up at some point and gave him the good news that he could trust the scholar's words. He was not as happy to get an earful about how she was not a slave-slash-lie detector there to quiz people at his whim. It was only by throwing Sion under the bus that he was able to escape a major tongue-lashing. After he had asked if his friend's bad cough had resolved itself, Sumiko started examining her fellow sprite. The exam seemed to mostly involve her poking Sion with a bony finger, but it still let Richter retreat to the sound of his companion squawking in protest. After people had eaten and drank their fill, they started filing under the canopy of the quickening. In ones, twos, and larger groups, his people found spots on the grass to relax. Some had planned ahead and had blankets with them. He walked over to Tirad and Isabella, who greeted him warmly. The captain had apparently made peace with their earlier disagreement. He returned their salutations and told Tirad to make sure the war party was ready to go after lunch on the morrow. Richter told the captain they would be trying for the Shiverleaf frond again. Tirad also nodded when Richter told him to also arrange for a backup strike team to protect Bartle. After that, he left the loving couple and continued to make his rounds. His people talked and laughed together for hours. Richter spent time with many of them, but he also took a solitary moment to observe what he had created. Gnomes, humans, elves, sprites, and dwarves broke bread together and shared a joyous camaraderie. The gray luminance of the mist lights reflected off of the silver undersides of the quickening's leaves, giving the feel that they were all standing in a castle's great hall rather than in the middle of a forest. Moments like this reminded him of what his battles and sacrifices were all about. He was making something to be proud of, something that was worth fighting for, and something that deserved his all. Richter did one other thing while he was walking around. He tried to keep it quiet, but soon there was a bit of an uproar when people caught on. After that, there was a lot of pushing and shoving, but it was all good-natured, and before long, every one of his villagers had drunk a potion of clarity. The potential lost revenue was astronomical, between 1,500 and 2,000 gold, but Richter decided it was worth it. With the birth of the pixies, he would fulfill at least two quests, both of which involved the quickening. The last time he had finished a quest involving the Celestial Tree, everyone in the village had received 5,000 experience points. That was enough to get most of them two levels. He knew that there was a possibility that he was just wasting an extremely valuable resource, but his people were worth it. There was also another benefit. More than once, he received a prompt that his relationship with a specific villager had increased because of his largesse. The Chaos Seed smiled happily. No matter what happened, he could rest easy, knowing his people were happy. More hours passed, and some of the villagers fell asleep on the grass. Everyone woke, however, when a large creaking noise echoed through the meadow. Richter looked quickly towards the trunk of the quickening and saw that some of the smaller trunks that comprised the octuple helix of the whole trunk were moving apart. It had always been possible to see through gaps in the helix and visualize the hollow interior of the tree, but now one of those hand-sized holes was stretching larger and larger. The gap widened, and the creaking noise grew louder as the tendrils of the silver tree drew further apart. It didn't stop until the hole was several feet across. The noise stopped, and the air was pregnant with anticipation. Everyone watched the tree in breathless excitement. No one spoke, and the tree remained still. Then, almost gracefully, a slender branch bent down from the celestial tree's canopy. The tip of the branch reached inside of the hollow trunk and then withdrew smoothly. Hanging from the end of the silver tendril was the cocoon that held every pixie in the land. The cocoon shone silver in the mist lights, made of the same material as the quickening's trunk. Light seeped through the threads of Alora's nest in many places. The cocoon rotated slightly at the end of the branch that had hooked it. Blue, yellow, black, and gold lights shined in all directions, making it look like a multicolored disco ball. Slowly, the rotation stopped. All was quiet again. Then came the sound. It sounded like a crystal bell the size of a mountain had been lightly struck 7 times. With each pure note, an invisible and insubstantial distortion emanated from the cocoon and spread out in all directions. The sound was almost deafening, but the clarity and purity of the chimes made it impossible to be upset or even to consider that the tones heralded danger. Everyone present knew that what they were hearing and seeing was one of the purest expressions of good they might ever experience. They waited, breathless, as the lights coming from the cocoon faded away. The top of the cocoon began to unravel. Several inches of silver thread fell away, and a sphere was revealed. It was white as cream, and reflected the light of the mist lights around it. The ball rose slightly in the air and moved free of the silky nest that had covered it. As it slowly floated free of the silver womb, different colors played across its surface. First, the light blue of glaze.